listen to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel.
Good morning. Today we're going to study 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now we only have this chapter and one other before we complete our study of the Corinthian church. In the months that we have been studying 1 and 2 Corinthians, we have discovered that the Apostle Paul was met with all kinds of opposition in Corinth church trying to preach the gospel to them, who had leaders that envied Paul. He has scolded them on several occasions, but in these last chapters, we find that Paul is having to take up for himself. And we said last week that he was foolishly boasting because he was not receiving the credit that was due him from this congregation. Paul was not boasting in his strengths, but he was boasting in his weaknesses. Using the word weakness and boasting in the same sentence doesn't make sense, but that's what Paul was boasting in his weaknesses. But in today's lesson, he's going to talk about an experience that he had with the Lord that would show that he was a great apostle. He was caught up to the third heaven, and he saw things too wonderful to be told, he said. It was a heavenly experience. But Paul stopped short of telling us about this heavenly visit because he didn't want the Corinthian people to think more of him than they should. He was not boasting in order to get praise from the people. He was boasting of himself and his weaknesses to show them that he was sincere in his preaching, that he didn't preach for personal gain. He received no money for his preaching from them. And he even brings up the fact that he sent Titus and Apollos to take up the offering for the Jews in Jerusalem, but they did not profit from that offering because apparently they had accused him of just preaching for money. But in reality, it was these false leaders who were preaching for money. He has to speak up for himself because the church didn't speak up for him. Paul says that he should have been praised from this church. Have you ever been to where you weren't appreciated? You worked and you labored, but you were not appreciated. Maybe by your family or at work. Have you ever done something on the job that benefited the company, but yet you didn't get credit for it? Someone else stepped in and took your credit? That's kind of what's going on with Paul here. He's telling them, I'm bringing you the true gospel. I'm telling you what God has shown me. I'm telling you that I am an apostle, that I have been with Jesus. And I know what I'm talking about, he said last week. But they don't appreciate him. But Paul is not saying these things so that they will appreciate him as a person, but he wants them to appreciate the gospel that he brings to them. Now, we can't say that Paul has no feelings, that he's a doormat, and that's okay as long as it's for the gospel. Well, it's not okay to be a doormat, even for the gospel's sake. A minister of the gospel deserves respect because of his office. Now, there may be some ministers who have abused their office but still they deserve respect. The angel Michael would not rebuke Satan over the body of Moses. He dared not. He said, "The Lord rebuke you." Because even though Satan was an evil angel, he was not under the authority of Michael. He was under the authority of God. And when we don't give respect to those who are over us, it means that we are not abiding by the authority that God has placed in the church. And if we have an incident where we have a false leader, that's a totally different situation. We shouldn't even be in that congregation that has a false leader. Paul says, don't follow a false leader. And that was what was happening in the Corinthian church. They had false apostles. It wasn't that they had a weak leader who could improve maybe on his ministry. That was not the case. This is false apostles who shouldn't even be in the position of leadership in the first place. And the congregation was putting up with it. These last three chapters, Paul is writing the letter to the church, to the congregation. He's not really addressing these false leaders. He has in past chapters. But in these last chapters, he's talking to the congregation. Now, we don't know how long that Paul was in this church, but it was years. If you've been in a work for a long period of time and people are not listening to you, it must be discouraging. You can't see any progress. They seem to be going backward instead of forward. So Paul is frustrated in these last chapters where he's trying to reason with them. And he's very personal in what he says to them. He says, "I want to tell you about an out-of-body experience that I had," but he says that he doesn't want to glory in that. He wants to glory instead in his weaknesses. He said, I would like to tell you about all the wonderful things that God has done for me, but I do not want to be found to be boasting in myself. And so that I wouldn't think of myself too highly, the Lord sent a messenger of Satan to buffet me. In other words, to bring me down a notch or two. This messenger of Satan that was allowed to hinder Paul didn't really hinder him at all. It actually strengthened him because he had to rely on the Lord Jesus and not on his own efforts. But it was very painful to Paul. He called it a thorn in the flesh. He prayed three times for God to deliver him. Jesus prayed three times about the cross. His flesh didn't want to go to the cross. And he said in the Garden of Gethsemane, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." This bitter cup that he was having to drink to die on the cross. And Paul is asking the same thing. Now many wonder what this thorn in the flesh that Paul talks about is. Some have said that it's his eyesight, that he had failing eyesight. And we know that he did. But usually when people's eyesight becomes dim when they get older, they don't usually have pain with it. This phrase, thorn in the flesh, makes you think of pain. It was something that gave him pain. Now, I was raised in West Texas where they have mesquite bushes. And if you've ever seen one of those, you know that they have long, spiny thorns just about on every limb. And they are plenty painful if you were to step on one of them that has fallen to the ground. Yes, Paul was in some kind of pain that was either in his physical flesh or else it was a pain of the spirit of his human nature. Perhaps some type of guilt, remorse, or temptation, or worry, or something from his past that brought him pain that the devil fought him over that would bring it up to him, perhaps. But personally, I think it was some type of injury that he had of the many beatings that he took for the gospel's sake. I think it was that because I think of the scars that was on the back of Jesus that he took for our healing. You know, when he died, those scars were open wounds. If you have a scar, it means that you once had a wound there of some type. The wounds on the back of Jesus was not scars when they buried him. But when he rose from the dead, he told Thomas, "Look at the scars in my hands and feel of my hands and see that it is I." They were healed up. Which means that Paul had had beatings and perhaps the wounds had healed, but he probably still was in some kind of pain that the Lord had not healed him up. And he even mentions in this chapter how he had done signs and wonders among them, and they had seen the great things that he had done for God. And so the devil torments him because God hasn't healed him. Have you ever known great people of God who suffered great illness and God didn't heal them, and you wondered why the Lord would not heal them when they were such saints for the Lord, but yet God would heal someone who perhaps was not living as close to God as they should, and God would heal them, and you wondered about it? There's a reason why that we have to suffer. Sometimes it's for the glory of God that we suffer, and sometimes it's for the glory of God that we're healed. Either which way it goes, God is to receive the glory. When Paul asked the Lord to deliver him from this messenger of Satan, the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, Paul." Now, what does it mean that his grace is sufficient for us? Just because you're not healed doesn't mean that you're not saved. We're saved by grace. So he tells us that we are saved even though we may not be healed. This body that we have is a temporal body. It has many ailments with it. It ages. The older that you get, the more that you see that you don't have the strength you once had. There's constant failings with it. But our spirit is renewed every day. And we have the Lord Jesus abiding with us, and we have power in him. Not being healed does not mean we're not saved. And it really doesn't mean that we don't have the faith. I'm a lady who had a brain tumor, And I've never seen a person who had more faith than she had. She never was negative at all in her outlook. She took chemo and radiation, and she never suffered any pain except slightly. Her hair fell out. She was weak, but she kept going. Every time that you would talk to her, she would say that she was healed. She would say she was healed like she was healed right at that moment, but yet she still had a cancerous brain tumor. Well, later she died, and I wondered about it. I said, Lord, this lady had faith, but yet she died. And it made me think her faith was in vain. But that's not the case. God rewards faith. He counts it as a work of righteousness. And even though she's not healed, she will be rewarded for her faith that I believe she will receive because she had faith even to the very end. So even though God accepts the prayer of faith, He doesn't always answer it, but He does what is best for us. Even though He didn't heal her, she didn't suffer. You know, we're going to leave this world with some kind of something that will cause our death if the Lord tarries. There's something that's going to take us out of this world. Whether it's sickness or an accident, some tragedy will happen to take us out of this world. There's people dying every day. And when Jesus was in Jerusalem, there were many that were there that wanted to be healed that were not. But we have no record that anyone came to Jesus asking to be healed that he didn't heal. But there were many sick people in Jerusalem that he did not heal who didn't ask him. And we don't understand all those things of why some are healed and some are not. But what we have to understand is we must believe in healing, and that it is there, provided already for us on Calvary. There have been many people who've just given up on God because they didn't receive their healing, or else there was someone else in their family who didn't receive their healing. We must resolve that whether the Lord heals us or not, we will serve Him anyway, and to know that there's a reason that we've not been healed. Because He said, my grace is sufficient for you. I've heard some say that the Lord doesn't heal sinners. But that's not true. I saw one man who was drunk, and God healed him. Someone had beaten him, and his face was all swollen. And I saw his face go down after he was prayed for. So God will heal any that call on Him so that He can show His power. But we don't have promises if we don't serve Him. But He wants us to serve Him. Now when Paul was telling about his vision that he had, he said he didn't know whether he was in his body or out of his body. He said it happened 14 years ago, and that's just about the time that he was in Lystra, and they had stoned him. And it said in Acts that they thought he was dead. J. Vernon McGee believes that he really did die, and God raised him back to life. And this is when he had this out-of-body experience. But Paul says whether he was out of body or in his body, he really couldn't tell. He didn't know if he had a near-death experience or he just had a vision. Paul says in verse 15 that he was glad to suffer for Christ and for this Corinthian church. He says he did these things for them as well as for the Lord Jesus. He said his great aim was to build up this church. There were some of these leaders who were involved in different sins, and he mentions them. He says that they had debates, they were envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. He was grieved because of these sins of those people, and they had not repented of them. These were some of the leaders that they were guilty of these things, fighting among themselves, being contentious, arguing, and they hadn't repented, and he is reproving them for this. Now let's read the New Living Translation, 2 Corinthians 12. The heading here is Paul's vision and his thorn in the flesh. This boasting is all so foolish, but let me go on. Let me tell about the visions and revelations that I received from the Lord. I was caught up unto the third heaven 14 years ago. Now, the first heaven is where the birds fly. The second heaven is where the stars shine. And the third heaven is where the throne of God is. Whether my body was there or just my spirit, I don't know. Only God knows. But I do know that I was caught up into paradise, and I heard things so astounding that they cannot be told. That experience is something worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to boast only about my weaknesses, he said. I have plenty to boast about and would be no fool in doing it because I'd be telling you the truth, but I won't do it. I don't want anyone to think more highly of me than what they actually see in my life and my message. But to keep me from getting puffed up, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan, to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. And each time he said, "My gracious favor is all you need. My power works best in your weakness." So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may work through me. Since I know it's all for Christ's good, I'm quite content with my weaknesses and with these insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. The next heading is Paul's concern for the Corinthians. You have made me act like a fool, boasting like this. You ought to be writing commendations for me, for I'm not at all inferior to these super apostles, even though I'm nothing at all. When I was with you, I certainly gave you every proof that I'm truly an apostle, sent to you by God Himself. For I patiently did many signs and wonders and miracles among you. The only thing I didn't do, which I do in the other churches, was to become a burden to you. Please forgive me for this wrong, but that he didn't take a salary from them. But now I'm coming to you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you. I don't want what you have, but I do want you. And anyway, little children don't pay for their parents' food. It's the other way around. Parents supply food for their children. I will gladly spend myself and all I have for your spiritual good, even though it seems that the more I love you, the less you love me. Some of you admit I was not a burden to you, but they still think I was sneaky and took advantage of you by trickery. But how? Did any of the men I sent to you take advantage of you? When I urged Titus to visit you and sent our other brother with him, did Titus take advantage of you? No, of course not. For we both have the same spirit and we walk in each other's steps, doing things the same way. Perhaps you think we're saying all this just to defend ourselves. That isn't it at all. We tell you this as Christ's servants, and we know that God is listening. Everything we do, dear friends, is for your benefit. For I am afraid that when I come to visit you, I won't like what I find, and then you won't like my response. I'm afraid that I'll find quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfishness, backstabbing, gossip, conceit, and disorderly behavior. Yes, I'm afraid that when I come, that God will humble me again because of you, and I will have to grieve because many of you who sinned earlier have not repented of your impurity, your sexual immorality, and your eagerness for lustful pleasure. So Paul is calling for them to repent. I heard a minister say that most of the messages today are on self-help and not on telling people they need to repent before God. But Paul tells them here, as he closes chapter 12, that he wants them to repent. We're not ever going to get anywhere with God unless we come to Him humbly, with contrite spirit, and call on Him for forgiveness. Please pray this prayer with me. We know, Father, that we are made strong in your strength, and we don't depend on ourselves, but we depend upon you. May others see you in us so that we may glorify your name. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we thank you for being with us today, and if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again on our website at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word.
It's a heavenly place, and He's leading.